Let us turn to the Word of God, please, to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 15. And this evening, I want us to think about the words and the conversation that took place between this Gentile woman and our Lord Jesus Christ. This woman who had a desperate need. It's a picture of a poor sinner who has come to realize his or her need. I suspect that everyone under the sound of my voice has many needs. We could list many matters on our hearts, many matters in our lives. Some people are maybe looking at devastating family problems. Some are looking at financial difficulties. Some are looking at problems with a child. Some are looking at their own soul and their own need, and they know how far away they are from God. Some have come to see that they are not converted, that they are lost. They do not know where they are going. I met a man like that 2 weeks ago. He said, "I do not know where I am going." Maybe there is someone here who thinks the same. In the midst of the problem of mankind, which is the result of sin, we have the Word of God, which tells us the gospel of Jesus Christ, the good news of salvation. That for a poor sinner who has come to realize that sin has caused a great separation, sin is leading him on this broad road with everyone else, and it's leading him to great destruction, final destruction. A sinner who has come to realize these things, the gospel of Jesus Christ comes with great hope and salvation. Where do we find solution to our sin's need? Jesus Christ, the Savior, the Son of God. You see, man's need is for God to work in his life. If only we come to see Jesus Christ as this woman saw herself. If we only come to receive a crumb from Christ's hand, not even a loaf of bread, but a little crumb, and to know how Jesus Christ transforms and changes and transforms us from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of his own dear Son, to transform a person who is dead in trespasses and sins to become alive, a person who is chained in sin to have his chains fall off. That's the change. That's the gospel. And the amazing thing about it is the effect of it lasts forever. Lasts forever, which is so different to everything in this world. Things of this world does not last forever. Well, here we have this evening this woman coming to Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ is approached by a mother who is in this desperate situation. And then she comes to realize she herself needs help. So she changes and she prays for herself. At one point she says, "Lord, help me. Lord, help me." There are people who would come to find some kind of a relief in Christianity. They may come to church for some form of relief, but to come to realize, no, Christ is not simply to be a problem solver, but a savior for my own soul. I need him. To realize that, it would be a great thing. She comes to the Lord, and as she does, she is not asking for a great or a whole loaf. She is asking for a crumb. She knows that a little crumb from the hand of the Son of God is more than enough to meet her need. The state of human heart by nature is fallen, desperately corrupted. Sin has affected every part of life, so every ailment we have, everything that is wrong with us, with our bodies, that degenerates day by day, it is a result of sin, the scripture says. Death sets in, and we age from the time of our conception. But here is a woman who comes to see Christ as we should see him too. There are a number of things I want us to think about. How we learn from this that we must call unto Jesus Christ, as this woman did. We must come and persist in seeing Jesus. And finally, it is that we will receive an answer from the Lord, that the Lord will not turn us away. So let us think about these thoughts as we come to this passage. First, all sinners must call unto Jesus Christ. We see this woman in verse 22. We read, "And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coasts and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with a devil." What was the reason for her coming? This woman came because she was concerned about her daughter. The child was demon-possessed and was probably, as we know from other passages, may be acting violently, maybe falling down. Maybe the demon had been trying to destroy her, and this young girl may be filled with anger and violence. She needed help in a desperate way. That's why this woman comes. But why was she crying? What was the reason for her crying? The word there, cried, speaks of one who is crying out, shouting after someone. That's the meaning. This woman was following after our Lord Jesus, and she was going after the disciples, and she was shouting out, crying out to him for help that she needed. Why was she so frantic? Why was she in this state? She was brokenhearted. She was brokenhearted over the condition of her own child. And she was determined to get her child the help that she needed. And so she cries out. In Mark's gospel, it is an interesting description of this woman. Tells us some detail in Mark chapter 7 and verse 25. It tells us that this woman had heard of him. This woman had heard of him. That tells us something. It's through the hearing of the ear, receiving knowledge of God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And this woman had heard of the living word. She had heard of him. What had she heard about him? Maybe she had heard that how he opened the eyes of the blind. Maybe she had heard how he had unstopped the ears of the deaf. Maybe she had heard about how he had driven the demons from other people. Maybe she had heard how the Lord Jesus had gone over into the country of the Gadarenes, and there was a man with legion of demons in him, and the Lord had cast all of them out of this man. Maybe she had heard these things, and she says to herself, if he can deliver legion of demons out of this man, he must be able to take this one demon out of my daughter. This woman came to the Lord Jesus because faith and hope had been sparked in her heart. She had come with great hope, great expectation. She needed something that society had not been able to provide. You know, there are lots of people in the world now. You talk to them and they think society will help them. There are people who may come in from a war-torn country, and they may come to this country, which at this time, by God's grace, we experience peace. And yet they find war within them. They find war within their homes and so on. War does not end, it seems. And one man said to me, "My problem has become worse." And they seek help from society. They seek help and to get some form of help from others, thinking man can help them. Man can never help the spiritual needs of a soul. It's God who can help us, my friends. And only through His Son, Jesus Christ. And this woman was looking for something that her dead religion did not provide for her. You see, she was from Tyre and Sidon. She was a Canaanitish woman with her pagan religion. But what is she doing coming to the Lord Jesus? Oh, she had realized her old religion was no use to her at this time. Oh, that people would come to see this too. Oh, that poor sinners caught up in false religion and dead-end religion may come to see the Lord Jesus too. She needed the solution that she had not been able to provide by her own self-efforts. Can you think about her? Can you imagine her? She would do anything to help her child. She would do anything. But now she realizes she cannot. She needs some help from outside of herself. She needs someone who is mightier than herself. All the love of a mother would not have helped, would not have casted the demon out. Oh, how wonderful is the love of a mother or a father. But there is something that even the love of the parents will not be able to do. And that's to save a soul. She was desperate, and she saw the Lord Jesus as her only hope. How many people can I identify with this poor, anxious mother? Maybe we are dealing with a child who is out of control. Perhaps we are at our wits' end over some situation in life. But if you go back, if you go beyond those things, I assure you, you will find the root of all problems is found with this fallen world. We are living in a fallen world and are affected by it. Perhaps we have exhausted ourselves, and we have exhausted every means that are at our disposal and do not know where to turn to. Well, let us come and see Christ for who He is. Maybe there is someone who realizes, I've been coming here, and I've coming here week after week, but my need is salvation. My need is the fact that I am not right with God. I know that I am guilty, and yet I am not converted. And maybe someone would think like that. I'm still in sin, under the judgment of God. Well, let us go to the Lord Jesus then. Let us go to Him like this woman. Get that need to Christ. That's what we need. She came calling on the Lord Jesus. Oh, that people would realize this about Christ, that he has large enough shoulders for us to cast all our burdens, all our sins upon him, and he takes them away. He is the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. And how wonderful that is. He takes away sin. He forgives poor sinners. He answers prayer. He gives life, eternal life. He feeds our soul. He causes us to grow. He brings us into the family of God. You may be alone, but in Christ you are not alone. You are joined to brothers and sisters who also have seen their need of Christ, and they sought him and they found him. And what a joy it is to be amongst God's people. We have to get to him, friends. We must not be afraid of calling upon him. Oh, how sad it is at times when someone says, oh, I'm afraid of calling upon the Lord. I have to wait for him to come to me. Not this woman. She went to him. You know, there was a man who came to our church last year, and he said, no, I have to wait. I have to wait. I said, there's no time to wait. You must go to him. No, but my minister says, I can't seek the Lord. Well, what about this woman? What about her? She went crying after the Lord. Have mercy, O Lord, Son of David. How wonderful it is how the Lord Jesus receives poor sinners. And then we must earnestly persist after the Lord Jesus. That's something else we learn from this woman. We must persist. That's what you see in verses 23 to 27. She comes to this man whom she had heard of, the Savior, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. She comes to him for help, and when she does not get a response from him, the response that she imagines that he should give her, but he doesn't. But what does she do? She carries on talking, going after the Lord. You know, this woman, she faced obstacles. Her faith faced obstacles. And you know, there are obstacles for sinners when they come to Jesus Christ. There are obstacles. Some of the obstacles they put in front of themselves. And there are other obstacles that the Lord puts in our way too. But she has these obstacles. To see that her need was met and her daughter was healed, this woman had to come through many obstacles. It seems that she met resistance to her request at every turn. Yet she persists until she achieves her goal. Let's examine some of these obstacles. It's important for us to think through these things too, because we will face obstacles. You know, one of the obstacles was that she had to overcome race. She had to overcome race. In verse 21, we read that she was from the coast of Tyre and Sidon. That's from where she came from. In verse 22, we read that she was a Canaanite. And this tells us two things about this mother. First, she was descended from a cursed people. God's judgment was upon those people from the past. How they had been so wicked towards God's people. How they had been so wicked towards the truth of God and Jehovah, the God of Israel. But secondly, she was from a region known for vile religious practices. This woman had 2 points against her before she even started. And you might think like that too. Somebody might think, well, I have this issue. I have this issue against me. How can the Lord receive me? Well, learn of her. She had to overcome, we could say, religion as well. The religion of God in various ways. A person has to see why it is there. What does God say? The reason behind God's law. God's law is so that we might seek the Lord, to see our need and seek Him. You see, one of the things that she prayed for at the beginning, she says, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David." Here she was a Gentile mother crying out after the Jewish Messiah. You see, she had no right to come to the Lord Jesus through the door of Judaism. She had no right. She was a Gentile. And so he gave her the response that she should have received as a Gentile. It says he answered her not a word. He answered her not a word. And then she had to overcome what we could say racism. There are no such thing as races, I hope you understand. There are different people groups, but there's only one human race. But here it is, in people's mind. You see, as she came, there were these disciples. And when these disciples see her, maybe she was dressed in a different way, in a way they were not used to. We don't know exactly what the people in Tyre and Sidon dressed. Maybe they were different. And they would see, the disciples would see, oh, here is this woman from a place we don't know much about. She looks funny. And then she starts talking, and she has maybe an accent like me or somebody else. She has a strange accent, crying after the Lord. And they see the features of what she looks like. And she's calling after the Messiah. And they reacted by telling the Lord to send her away. Send her away! We don't want people like that. They wanted nothing to do with her. She was one of the other people. In their eyes, she was different. And that was enough to justify them not caring about her at all. And so she had to overcome that. And she had to overcome rejection. Rejection. But the difficult thing it is to overcome rejection. But you see, these are the things the Lord places even in front of faith. And true faith becomes victorious. True faith goes after Christ and is not hindered about these things. And we have to see that. Some people face these problems and they stop. "I've had enough of this," they would say. "But I hope we won't. I hope we would go on with the Lord." She has to overcome rejection. As the Lord Jesus speaks to this woman, you see it in those verses 23 to 26. His words appear very harsh to our natural ears. When you read the verses on the surface, they sound quite harsh. Why did the Lord speak to this woman like this? This is not the way to win people. His words probably broke her heart. First, you see, he simply ignores her. It is as if he turns an indifferent ear to her cries of help. Then he... It seems to tell her that his whole purpose is in coming into the world is to reach the lost sheep of Israel. And when she persists, he tells her that she's a dog. That's what he says. He says, "You don't deserve to receive the children's bread." The disciples rejected her. And now it appears that the Lord has also rejected her. And another thing she has to overcome is reality. Reality. The reality of this situation, it is harsh reality. like many people. They have to accept the harsh realities of their life and what sin has done. They have to accept these things. They have to realize these things. You see, she has to accept that she has a daughter which is possessed of the devil. She has to accept and see the reality that she's from a doomed race. And these religious men did not seem to care about her or her situation at all. It must have appeared to her that her situation was hopeless. Some may have barriers before them as they hear this message. A person might be lost and they see their need of the Lord Jesus Christ, but then they have these stumbling blocks in their way. They look here, they look there, they are rejected here, and they are offended from that direction. Oh, but it must not stop us going to the Lord Jesus. It must not stop us persisting earnestly after the Lord Jesus. There's too much at stake. Eternal life. Eternal life. Salvation. Maybe we have realized that a religion of works based on simply do's and don'ts, they have not satisfied our soul's longing. How many millions of people tonight are caught up in such religions, doing this and doing that, hoping and hoping that they will have salvation at the end, but they cannot be sure now. Maybe there are people who have experienced rejection from God's people, Christians. Maybe they have even read something in the Bible that it offends them. You know, the gospel does offend because it humbles sinners. We have to accept that we are totally lost. There is no good thing found in us. And there is no good. No, not one. Oh, my dear friends, we must go to the Lord Jesus Christ. With all of these discouragements, we must go to Him. Maybe there are others who pray and pray and seek the Lord, and yet they feel the Lord has not answered them. Don't let that cause you to stumble. Don't let that cause you to stop. Some people have cried out to God. A little boy told me recently, "Oh, I prayed to the Lord, but He hasn't saved me." Let us continue to seek Him. Let us not think our sins are so great that He will not receive us. Let us be encouraged. God's silence is not an indication, friends, of God's unwillingness to meet our need. God's silence is not an indication that God is unwilling to meet our need. God's silences serve as tests of our faith. Is it genuine? Do we see Him for who He is? Do we seek Him in the right way? Do we seek Him earnestly? Have we come to realize how awful our sin is and how wonderful He is and what He has done? You see, God silences, tests those things, and helps us to see that God operates on a different schedule than ours. He does not run His timetable, but our timetable. That's something we must learn. What obstacles do we face in seeking the Lord? Our faith must not be defined but by what we receive from God, but as one has put it, it must be by what it takes to stop us from getting to God. and serving him. What does it stop us? You think about it. But then there are opportunities of faith. In Mark 7 and verse 27, we read, "But Jesus said unto her, Let the children first be filled, for it is not meet or right to take the children's bread and to cast it unto the dogs." The Lord Jesus speaks as he speaks to this woman. He never slams the door of hope in her face. In Mark's account of this encounter, that Mark records of the conversation of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord Jesus says, "Let the children first be filled." And that word "first" is quite a key word that this heartbroken woman needed to hear. The Lord Jesus Christ did not say to her, "You cannot have what you are looking for." He never said that. He said, "I have come to the children of Israel, and they must be filled first." And you know, that was a word of hope for her. You see, they have to be first filled, but then there are seconds. Then there are people after that. What a hopeful thing that is. Yes, there are these people. And Christ has come to show them that he is the Messiah. But now then there is me, a Canaanite woman, and I have hope now. You see, these obstacles that were thrown up by the Lord Jesus Christ were not placed there to discourage and defeat this lady. The obstacles were placed there to mature her faith. Watch the progression. In verse 22, this woman calls on the Lord Jesus based on his soul as the Jewish Messiah, and she receives no help there. She has no right to approach him on that ground. In verses 24 and 25, she hears the Lord Jesus tell her that his mission here on earth is to the nation of Israel. And when she hears this, she moves beyond seeing him as a Jewish Messiah. She now sees him as her only hope. She sees him as being worthy of worship. And in verse 24, she bows down to him in worship. She humbles herself, and that's what we must do. We must humble ourselves at Christ's feet, gives him worship that he deserves, and appeals to him for help that she needs. And then verses 26 and 27, now she hears the Lord Jesus compare her to a dog. You see, the Jews looked at all non-Jews, the Gentile people, as dogs. And the word that they used refers to a vicious, scavenging, mongrel type of dog. It is used as a metaphor of unclean and filthy and dirty. Our Lord Jesus even used it when he said about not giving that which is holy unto the dogs, and so on. But the word that the Lord Jesus uses here is a different word. It's a word that is used for a pet dog, a little puppy. And it is not about a scavenging, dirty dog, but the pet in the house of an animal that is looked on as part of the family. And so she immediately catches on to this. She uses this, you see, as an opportunity. Yes, she says, yes, it isn't right to take the food from the children's table and give it to the dogs, but even the dogs are often treated to a morsel from the table. All I'm asking for is a crumb from the table. That's what she was asking. Can we see this, friends? Can we see this? There are so many things we could think about. Oh, my friends, a crumb from Christ, to seek him and receive just one word from him: be healed, be forgiven. Oh, how would you react? How would I react? How many people, when they are faced with a gospel that says you must first admit that you are a poor sinner and then come to Jesus Christ who shed his precious blood upon the cross at Calvary, then you come to him pleading with him humbly, and then they might see obstacles in their way. How many people would say, no, I don't want any kind of this kind of religion. I've had enough of this kind of faith. No, they would say. This woman was ignored, this woman was rejected, and yet she comes to the Lord and says, Lord, help me. But you know, she received the answer from the Lord. She received the answer from the Lord. And what a thing that is, the Lord answering our prayers. What a privilege that is, that a poor sinner who does not deserve it can call upon God. And the Lord hears us, hears the petitions of a repentant heart. Ask and it shall be given you, seek and ye shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you, our Lord said. And the Lord Jesus answers, he responds to her faith. He was amazed by the depth of her faith, by her persistence. He had tested her faith with hard words, and her faith had been risen to the challenge. Her faith exceeded than that of the various Jews that the Lord Jesus was preaching to. Her faith had, of this Gentile dog, if we could say that, had exceeded. She had more faith than the Jewish scribes and Pharisees and the Sadducees all put together. And he rewarded her faith. Her daughter was healed. Her daughter was healed. And you know, her faith was, she didn't say, wait here, I'll go and check. She went home, believing that the Lord had healed. What a faith that is. She didn't bother testing. Said, is this really true? Did you really heal my daughter now? She went home. What a wonderful thing that is. Friends, think about this. But somebody may come and say, oh, but my pastor, my problem is such, I can't even explain it to you. It is so deep, my sins are so deep. How can the Lord heal me? How can the Lord heal me? You don't understand it, pastor. And I would say to you, I don't understand. I couldn't understand your problem. I hardly understand half of my own problems. But I know someone who can. I know someone who can understand all things because he made me and made the world. And he knows us. He knows our frame. I ask you to look to him. Look, my friends, to some people that the Lord Jesus healed and forgave. Look, my friends, to him who gave his heart's blood for poor sinners like us. But look to people of whom it is recorded. Look, there is Jairus. Jairus, you know what he did? He placed his daughter in the hand of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Lord Jesus raised her from the dead. Look, there is Lazarus, and Lazarus is lying in the tomb for days, and he's stinking. And the Lord Jesus Christ calls him to arise. Come forth, Lazarus. And he lives. You look again, there are a multitude of people hungry, sitting down. The Lord Jesus feeds them miraculously. You must look, my friends, to the disciples. They are in a boat. They are in a storm in the middle of the lake in the dead of the night. And they are to drown. But the Lord saves them. You must look. There is a leper, and he is made clean. There is a blind man, and the Lord makes him see. There is a deaf man, and the Lord makes him to hear. There is a crippled man, and the Lord Jesus Christ makes him to walk. There is a man who is possessed with a legion of demons, and the Lord causes him to be set free. And friends, you must look. There is Jesus Christ. And he is hanging on a cross. then you must look and he's dead. They bring his body down from that cross. They lay him in a tomb for 3 days, but then look. He's alive. He's risen from the dead. And we go to him for salvation. We go to him who has done such marvelous things. And he has saved poor sinners like us. He died for such rebels as we. Regardless of what our needs may be, if we see our need that it is sin and we are separated from God, if he has caused us to see that, let us look to him and go to him and cry after him. And may he will certainly say to us, "Be it unto thee, even as thou wilt." Amen. Let us now sing the final.